Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 31. And our focus is on the fact that it was the Lord who brought his people out of Egypt. This is God's word. "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also, bless me.' The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, 'We will all die.' So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Israelites for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'These are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Any slave you have bought may eat of it after you have circumcised him, but a temporary resident and a hired worker may not eat of it. It must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside of the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you.' All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Time and again, Pharaoh said, "If you'll do this, I'll let you go." And then he changed his mind. Time and again, the people were kept enslaved. And the Egyptians, as you'll recall, treated them cruelly, ruthlessly. They were horribly oppressed. They were having a terrible time. This is going to be important to remember because there will come times when they'll be longing to go back to Egypt, thinking how good it was. You know, it was not so bad. Things weren't so bad. Folks, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, it is a whole new life. But there are times when the enemy will come to you and say, "You know, The way you were living before wasn't all that bad. It wasn't so bad. And if you're not careful, you can be seduced into longing for things that amounted to slavery, bondage. You forget what a cruel master sin is. You forget that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I want you to see that when God did what God had chosen and promised to do, suddenly Pharaoh decided, okay. He sends word to Moses and Aaron, and it's translated here, up. Get up. Get going. Get out. Leave. He's not giving permission. He's now begging them to get out of town. He wants them gone. And the Egyptian people are urging them, please leave us, because we're afraid if you stay, we're all gonna die. It won't just be the firstborn males. It will be everybody. They knew that this was the hand of God. They knew that they were the offenders. They knew that there was a problem and that they wanted things to be different. And so they are encouraging the people to go. And God had told Moses that he would incline the hearts of the Egyptian people toward the Israelites, and that the Israelites would plunder the Egyptians. That these people who'd enslaved them would now gladly give them their stuff. Because God was basically turning things upside down and shaking it. Okay? And so the Israelites, who have been for more than a generation plundered by the Egyptians taking unfair advantage of them, cruelly exploiting them, now they are leaving with the wealth of Egypt. They've got new wardrobes. You want it? You can have it. Yes, absolutely. This too. Here you go. Jewelry, here, take this. I mean, the Egyptians are giving them gold and silver and precious stones. And so these people who have been slaves, horribly oppressed slaves, are leaving slavery now with riches. I want you to realize what a complete reversal of circumstance that is. You've been impoverished. The government was saying, you can't even have your own children. If a male child is born, he's to be killed. That's how oppressive this government was. Now, the people who were slaves told you've got to make bricks without straw. In other words, you have to gather the straw yourself to make the bricks. And they're beaten and treated cruelly and going hungry. I mean, it's a terrible situation they're in. Now, suddenly, they're wealthy. They're dressed like wealthy people. They're wearing fancy stuff. They've got jewelry. It's like, this, can you? I mean, this is amazing. And God's the one who gave it to them. The Egyptians were just the channel. God is the one who enriched his people as he had promised before the first plague started. This wasn't something that God thought of during the process of the plagues. You know, I think I'm going to have them give. No, God had said ahead of time to Moses, this is what I'm going to do. And God did everything he promised. And please notice, they were there 430 years to the day. To the day. 430 years. Do you think the people themselves had been keeping track of, well, let's see, it's been 430 years now. No. God knew. God was keeping track. God knew how long it had been. People had been born and lived and died, and their children lived and died, and their children lived and died, and their children lived and died. One of the things that is just frustrating to me about our current situation in this country is that so many young people and adults, including folks who go to college, have no clue about history, about the timeline. They don't understand at all what's happened. I watch these people being interviewed on, whether it's for the Tonight Show or whether it's for Bill O'Reilly. I don't watch him very much, but every now and then I see the little segment where he's got his reporter out there in the field interviewing people. And they ask folks, who was the first president of the United States? And people are like, gosh, that's embarrassing. I don't know. They don't know. Well, America's revolution, who were we revolting against? Germany? Wrong. Okay? When was World War II? The 1800s? I mean, they really haven't got a clue. These are people who apparently never talked to their grandparents. May not even know who their grandparents are. Let me just tell you something. One of the reasons you need to study history is so that you begin to get an idea of where we come from and where we're going and what is likely to happen if we don't learn the lessons of the past. Okay? History is an important thing. And whether or not people are paying attention, God is. And God arranged all of this so that the Passover would be on the night that would get them out 430 years to the day after they went into Egypt. And all the generations in between who were stuck there in Egypt, and the latter generations, not all those generations were slaves, okay? For many years, they simply prospered there in Goshen. But then through the generations that were slaves, Moses' generation, the generation before Moses, those folks, they couldn't understand where they fit in the pattern. They didn't know God was about to get them out. If they had heard promises that God was going to bring his people back to the land he'd promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't know when. They were not sitting around marking off the calendar saying, well, I think we're going to be getting out soon. Didn't know, but God did. God had a plan. He was going to deliver them from the situation they were in. It was going to be great. They were going to leave with wealth. They were going to go from poverty to wealth like that. Do you remember anybody else who was in Egypt before these folks who was cruelly treated, unjustly oppressed, and went from poverty and prison to wealth and power overnight? Can you think of any names come to mind? Anybody like maybe Joseph? That's how this chapter got started. I don't mean chapter 12. I mean this is how this whole episode of God's people living in Egypt got started. You and I need to realize today that we look at our circumstances sometimes and we say, this is just not good. I don't like this. I don't like what's happening. I think this is just distressing and I don't see a way out. We've been in this predicament for a long time. 430 years they'd been in Egypt. And God's going to get them out in one night. And it's going to be 430 years to the day. Because God had a precise plan. His timing was perfect. It doesn't say it was approximately 430 years that they were there. It says they were there 430 years to the day. Who could plan that? It's not like God makes this up as he goes along and says, well, let's see, I guess I can do something with that. God is sovereignly working out his purpose. But when you're in the middle of it, these folks, year after year, generation after generation, were stuck in Egypt and it seemed like God had forgotten them. He hadn't. He had a plan. And the timing was precise. But folks, they weren't going to get out of Egypt a day before that. when it was the fullness of time, God brought it about. And he delivered his people from Egypt on the exact day that he had ordained. When you look at your circumstances and you feel like, oh, I've got to make things happen, remember, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I was awake much of the night last night praying about some things, and that was the verse I kept going over and over and over in my head. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman wakes in vain. You can't make things happen.
So yes, I can. I can get in there and exert myself and
yeah, you can. And God can go, and it's all gone. All the stuff you built. Remember the Tower of Babel? They're building the tower and they say, we're going to reach to God. We're going to go to the heavens. We're going to build our way. And God says, what is this thing they're doing down there? I'm going to have to go down there and take a look. Now, is that because God really couldn't see it from heaven? Or is that a humorous, sarcastic way of God saying what seems so gigantic an accomplishment to mankind is in the eyes of God a little tiny speck on a blue marble? Okay? So God comes down to see this thing that man is doing and says, oh, no. If they're doing this, there's no end to what they can do. And so he makes it so they can't talk to each other. Okay? And instead of saying, I need 40 more yards of tar, the words come out, Hunna higgimos manga! And the other guy looks and says, I'm sorry, what did you say? Suddenly they can't communicate and the whole project comes to a halt and the people find who talks like them and they go off together. And that's the end of the Tower of Babel. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You and I don't need to try and get God on our side. We need to get in step with God. Say, God, what do you want? I want to do what you want. I just want to be in line with you. You're in charge. I'm yours. I'm not going to try and get you to do things my way. I want to do your will. So it was the Lord who brought his people out of Egypt. God did it. And God did it royally. They come out wearing fancy clothes and jewelry, which is not typically what you'd wear on a journey. Okay? But I mean, it's like, man, if you've got the bling, wear it. So they are going along, wearing these clothes, wearing the jewelry, and they didn't even have time to add the leaven to the bread, so they ended up having to eat unleavened bread. Well, whose plan was that? That was God's plan. That's what God had told them they were supposed to be eating that night anyway. Unleavened bread. Why? Because it was a picture of Jesus who was totally sinless. So they weren't necessarily understanding more than a tiny fraction of what was going on. But God was in the process of painting a picture that was much bigger and that would be a witness from generation to generation to generation. And God told Moses to tell the people, because of this, you are to remember this and teach this to your children and to their children. This is God's plan. What? To teach about the salvation of the Lord. One more thing. There were a number of other people, non-Israelites, who decided to leave Egypt with them. It was like, I want to be a part of this, not that. But God said, if you want to be a part of this and not that, the sign of the covenant has to apply to you as well. You can't just hang out with God's people and be part of God's people. If you're going to be part of God's people, you've got to come into covenant with Him. Let me tell you something this morning. There are a lot of young people over the years who've come to this place. We've had over 200 young people now, as best I can do the math. We've had over 200 young people who've come here in over 20 years. And some of them have been here a short time. Some of them have been here a long time. But during the time that they've been here, this is a place where if you want to get along, you bow your head and say your prayers. Okay? You memorize verses because you get points. And you might even get a trip to Florida. You memorize the right ones and enough of them. And you say your sirs and ma'ams because you want to have privileges. And that's how you get them. And so you learn to get along and you learn to act like you're part of the group. And you learn to raise your hands in devotions because, well, that's what the people who are in charge are doing. And, you know, so yeah, okay. And you sing the songs and you listen and you take the notes and you answer the questions and you get along. And some folks leave here and do great. And some folks leave here and they go into the next environment and they say, oh, it's different in that environment. If I want to get along in this environment, I need to cuss and I need to smoke and I need to drink. And some of these environments even encourage me to do drugs. And wow, some people are going to encourage me to be sexually promiscuous. And so they just do what it takes to get along in that environment. If it's not on the inside, it's not going to last. If you're not in a covenant relationship with God, you're just hanging out with His people. And God said, in order to partake of this celebration of salvation, the Passover, which was to be celebrated annually by God's people, the Israelites, regardless of your background, if you want to participate, you've got to make covenant with God. You've got to accept His covenant with you. You've got to be in a life and death commitment. If you don't do that, then you can't be part of the celebration. You can still be there, but you can't partake. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you able to really enter in to the celebration? Are you able to really participate in celebrating what God has done to save His people? Or are you just part of the audience? Just looking on and seeing it and thinking, I wonder why they're happy. I wonder why they have peace. Because just learning the words and learning the motions doesn't make it real for you. I hope and I pray that those who do not really know the Lord will experience His salvation. Because God's going to bring His people out of bondage into freedom and great blessing. But you have to be in covenant with Him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.